Our sermon today is based on a reading from Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Thank you, God, for sending us messages of healing and hope. We're still caught up in the chaos. It is still going on. Ripples and recounts and wrestling with results. While I trust we are remaining calm and hopeful and assured that the chaos will end and soon, we're still dealing with it. Our sense of rightfulness and order is being sorely tested. When I asked the Holy Spirit to send me a scripture about Jesus dealing with chaos that could be the basis for the O in sermon in this series, she sent me to this story of a boy, a father, distraught disciples, and a demon. Our version of the scripture has the boy's father explaining he was an epileptic. In our day and time, we understand what epilepsy is, and we have a basic idea of what causes it. But back in the day, whenever some physical ailment occurred and no one could explain it, they almost always went to the default mode of saying it was caused by a demon. There are many stories about supposedly demon-possessed people in the Bible. It was easier to explain the unknown, including deafness and muteness, by saying it was the work of a demon. To people back then, disease was part of the forces of chaos, as were wild weather, debilitating illness, and death and demons. Today, we would not only accept the diagnosis of epilepsy or other physical problem, but we also acknowledge mental illness as a very real thing that affects more people than we know. And people that we know. With both epilepsy and mental illness, things are out of whack, out of kilter, out of order. But Jesus came to make everything right once again. Jesus, James, Peter, and John had just had a marvelous mountaintop experience. Jesus had been transfigured right before the three disciples' eyes, glowing bright with holiness and purpose. And then there appeared Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus about the things that would happen soon, including Jesus' death and resurrection. Up there on the mountain, the disciples got a glimpse of glory that was so compelling, Peter suggested they make three shrines, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, so they could just stay up there forever. Far away from the noise and hustle and bustle at the base of the mountain, far above all the cares of the everyday world, caught up in the cloud and reveling in the joy of Jesus, the majesty of Moses, and the enigma of Elijah. But Jesus knew something Peter obviously wanted to forget. His call was not to stay on top of the mountain, neglecting everything else below. His work waited at the foot of the mountain. He may have been tempted to sojourn there because there was so much going on in the world below. But nothing would get done if he stayed on the mountain. And so they made their way back down the mountain, carefully, I'm sure. We don't want anyone falling down the mountain and breaking a leg, now do we? As soon as they hit level ground, they found themselves smack dab in the middle of chaos. There were the disciples desperately trying all the spells and tricks they could think of to help a boy tortured by a powerful demon. There was a frantic father who had come to Jesus' disciples in the hopes they would be able to help his son. The father was heartbroken to see his son suffering. When he went looking for Jesus, he found the other disciples and figured they could help his son just as well as Jesus could. And indeed, Jesus had given some of his followers the power to expel demons and heal all kinds of illnesses. But for some reason, it wasn't working this time. There were also crowds of people standing around watching and likely jeering and laughing at the disciples' very public failure. What a relief it must have been to everyone when Jesus suddenly showed up, still aglow from his meeting with the former prophets, still hearing God's voice affirming him, "This is my son, the beloved." He had had a nice break, but he was reminded once again that down to earth, the work continued, the never-ending work, the illness, the suffering, the confusion, the disbelief, all that he had come to conquer. Knowing how short his time on earth now was, Jesus had endowed his followers with power similar to his, the power to overcome and dispel lies and sickness, the power to make demons such as they were flee in fright and defeat. But for some reason or other, nothing the disciples did made a dent in this boy's life. The demon only got worse and more powerful. His father had brought the boy to them with such high hopes for a cure at last, for the boy to have a chance at a normal life, to get back into society that shunned him. His hopes were dashed until he saw Jesus. Jesus heard the father's story and empathized with him, but his reaction otherwise is astounding. "How long must I put up with you? You're so faithless and perverse." Was he tired of having people come to him for healing and then having to watch them go on their way without making a commitment to him? Was he tired of his fumbling disciples? Weren't they learning anything from being constantly in his presence? He was going to leave them soon. He was entrusting his healing work into their hands. Were they up to the challenge? Were they capable of the task? Jesus was preparing his transition team, but it seemed to have hit a snag. Why couldn't the disciples get rid of that pesky demon? One reason could have been that they approached the problem incorrectly. Perhaps they were too caught up in how wonderful the miracle would make them look, how everyone would be awed and give them the props and praise that rightfully belonged to God and God alone. Perhaps they were making a big show of the whole deal, gathering a crowd around to watch and trying to impress them with their abilities. After Jesus easily and effectively exorcised the demon, or rather cured the boy of epilepsy, the disciples gathered around him to ask privately, "Why couldn't we do it? What were we doing wrong?" Jesus' surprising answer was their lack of faith. They may have approached the boy with confidence in their ability to help them, but there was a crack or two in their faith that let the doubt creep in. They didn't totally believe in themselves or in God. They gave the demon far more credit than it deserved. Thus, the demon was able to resist them because they didn't fully believe they could cure the boy. Jesus had no doubt. He was utterly assured of all he could do through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God. In other versions, Jesus said demons like that one were only expelled through the power of prayer and fasting, spiritual disciplines that bring you in tune with God and show your sincerity and your earnest desire to be a partner in God's work of redemption and healing. "If you only had a little faith, the faith of a mustard seed," Jesus went on, "you could do even more marvelous things, anything, everything." I found my mustard seed charm. I can't remember where I got it, most likely from my faith-filled grandmother. This seed is really, really tiny. All it takes is that much faith to make marvelous things happen. Sometimes our doubts are bigger than this seed, but we need to shrink them down to size, down to nothingness, and let that little seed of faith grow so we can see the marvelous promises of God for healing and help and even life from out of death and order from chaos. When the boy was cured, suddenly everything was all right in his world and his father's world. The demon thrived on chaos, keeping everyone worried about what he would do next to the boy. Throw him in the fire, throw him in the water, let him have a moment or two of sanity and healthfulness and clarity, and then take him down again. Jesus came to restore order in the world. There is so much out of order these days, it makes us edgy and nervous. When I get nervous or upset, I tidy things up. I put things in order. I clean. It soothes me for some reason to make sure objects are lined up nicely and neatly and precisely and things are in their proper places. This is what Jesus has come to do for us, to put things in their proper places, to rid the world of the glitches that knock us to our knees and the disruptions that try to crush our mustard seeds of faith. When God first created the world, everything was done in an orderly fashion and everything was good. The incursion of sin into the perfection turned everything upside down. But even in the beginning, God determined to one day send a Savior to make everything fall back into place and make all things new and whole and good again. And so God sent us Jesus the Christ in order to get things in order again. The comfort we find in this story is this: chaos can't continue. This is not God's will for God's world. The chaos must dissipate sooner or later. It must. Eventually, it must tire itself out and wear itself down, especially when it finds it has nowhere to go and no one is buying into it anymore. And demons got to go. Sooner or later, willingly or not, they got to go. In other versions of the scripture, the demon had one last fling. It convulsed the boy and threw him to the ground so violently that everyone watching thought he was dead. Then Jesus came forward and took the boy by the hand and raised him up to his feet. He was cured. He was whole instantaneously. How he and his father must have rejoiced. It's devilishly hard on parents to watch their children suffer, be it a physical illness or a mental illness. You would give anything, anything, to take away that child's pain and restore his or her mind. This is why Jesus came, to take away the pain, to restore rightful thinking, to restore order. So let us cling to this mustard seed, that the confusion and disruption and futility swirling around us now will soon be flung away so that healing and restoration and transition can happen. God intends order for the good of the order, so that we can begin to live in peace and harmony and anticipation of wonderful things to come. Like the disciples, we have the power to dispel doubt and demons if we use it in the proper way. We have the power to rebuke every evil, to scold every demon and command them, get out and stay out. You're not going to torture this child of God anymore. It's time to go. You're fired. We're fighting a spiritual battle. But through our faith in Jesus, we have the ability, the courage, and even the duty to confront demons and take away their power to disrupt and interrupt and deconstruct. We have the power to restore order in our topsy-turvy world by insisting on truth, relying on righteousness, accepting facts, and refusing to let wild rumors and conspiracy theories drive us and deprive us of knowledge and contort our reality. Jesus has come down from the Mount of Transfiguration to transform us into people who relish honesty, integrity, fairness, equality, and maturity. This disorder is not in our DNA. We have the power to bring order out of chaos. Oh, chaos, we're ready to end you and send you away. Let us pray. Dear God, we remember how this child's father also said, "Help thou my unbelief." Help us, God, to plant our mustard seeds of faith deep in the soil of your love. Empower us to be the distillers of truth and justice and the banishers of lies and deceit and disinformation. This is the work your son, Jesus the Christ, began here on earth. We commit ourselves once again to taking up our mantle and carrying on for Jesus, reaching out to others as he did to help them find their way out of the chaos with love and hope, calm and faith and assurance. Amen.